could you wrap the spinach artichoke dip in a tortilla?
Yeah, okay.
Could you sprinkle some Parmesan cheese on it?
What?
Parmesan cheese, just a pinch.
Yes.
Do you have garlic?
Yes.
How about some ranch seasoning?
Yes.
Great. Could you bake that in the oven until it's melty?
Are you trying to make a 7-Eleven cheesy spinach go-go taquito?
Yes.
I thought so.
There's an easier way to get the new cheesy spinach go-go taquito. Go to 7-Eleven. It's spinach, cream cheese, parmesan, artichokes, garlic, and ranch seasoning, all rolled up in a crisp tortilla. And it's good.
Here's your doggy bag, miss.
Oh, excuse me. Could you put a bow on it?
A bow?
You know, like a ribbon.
No.
Okay, I'm good.
Oh, thank heaven.
For a limited time at participating 7-Eleven stores.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And now, live from Washington, D.C., here's Larry.
My guest is Robert Daly. His newest book is A Faint Cold Fear. It is published by Little Brown. We'll be going to your calls at the bottom of the hour at 703-685-2177. Are you already working on the next one?
Well, I know pretty well what I want to do, and there's a long process to go through. I have to write an outline, and although I have a contract with the publisher, they have the right to, you know, diddle with my outline, which they always do, and I have to work out the details and then start it and then write it, and so we're talking about another year here. And the end of the year gets very long because whatever you may have done, I mean, you've written enough books to know this. Until you write the end, at the end of it, you got nothing. You've been, you know, you can't sell anything until you finish the last page.
Who's your agent?
Huh?
Who's your agent?
ICM, Esther Newberg.
I know Esther.
A lovely woman.
Yeah, he is Sterling Lord.
Oh, you do. Sterling was my agent for years and years and years.
I like him. He's not vigorous.
No.
But he has a kind of nice manner.
Yeah.
I think if I were a full-time writer, I don't think I'd use Sterling. I like someone more.
Yeah.
For me, it's fine, you know, if he's... Although I just got a real nice advance to do a book on growing up in Brooklyn. Like Russell Baker did about Baltimore, right about just what the street was like in the neighborhood.
Well, you got four books already behind you.
Yeah. Yours on a bestseller list yet?
It's not yet. It's only been out 1 month, and the book, the bestseller list is 2 weeks behind, as you know. But it's had wonderful sales in Europe. I'm really astonished.
Same cover?
I don't know. I don't know what they'll do. I don't like the cover. It's got two messages. Yeah, it's okay. It's got two messages on it, both of which are, you know, sort of against the female.
Can't read this.
In New York, but I really live mostly in Connecticut, in New Canaan.
East side?
West side, right opposite the Museum of Natural History.
Nice, I like this.
Yeah.
It's really growing, that area.
Uh-huh.
Columbus.
Yeah. Lots of empty stores, you know. And you, these guys, these landlords who jack up the rents and force people out that have been there for years. Now, in our times, in the recession, they're stuck with it. Good.
Damn right. Now, I thought we were on a break. Okay, so we've been sitting here all the time, talking and not talking. Does anybody signal me? Are we on a break? Did we take a break? No, we're back. Well, you never signal me back from a break. Are we on? Okay, thanks. Did anyone ever say, here's Larry? Did you? you hear it, Robert?
No, I did not.
Robert didn't hear it, and I didn't hear it. I'm just talking to the crew. I realize we're on. I looked up. I saw the light. Neither of us ever heard a signal come back, so we have been sitting here. Welcome to the Larry King Show. Our guest is Robert Daly. We're going to pause for news headlines, a word from your local stations, and when we come back, we will take your phone calls. Our numbers are 703-685-2177, and this is semi-hysterical. Yeah, we are on. Thank you. Okay, all I'm telling you is, Mr. Daly and I were sitting here. Last I remember was breaking for commercial, and we never came back. We never came back. So if we came back, we thank you. And if you heard us talking, I don't know what we were talking about, Robert.
We're talking about agents and things like
agents.
That. Agents. And much interest to...
Couldn't have been... if you heard, whatever you heard, we didn't curry.
Now, as you know, the San Diego Zoo is one of the finest zoos in the world. And we've had this young lady on the show very often the past, I guess, 7 or 8 years. She's been appearing with
us. About 9 years.
Hmm?
About 9 years.
Right, yeah. Several plus several will be about nine.
You said 7 or 8.
No, I said... No, I didn't say 7 or 8. I said several.
Then you said 7 or 8, and I said
did I?
9.
Yes. 9, good, thank you.
Yeah. Some of the animals you had as babies are now 10 years old.
That would be about right.
Remember the animals that did something funny on your tie?
Yes.
Those little lions, the little baby lions, were 1 year old.
That's right.
They are now treacherous and ferocious 10-year-old animals.
Okay. Yep. Anyway, Joan Embry is here tonight.
And she's now 32.
That's right. Joan is an animal handler and a trainer. And you really think you're fooling everybody, don't you?
No.
And she
I'm
also...
I'm just here to do my best to help you.
I know that. And she does her 3 horse shows a day. Did you know that? At the animal park.
Boy.
What?
What an exciting idea.
Would you like an army cot or something? Maybe just kind of catch up on a little nappy poo? Just might snap you out of it. Okay.
I love Joan. I'm the only one who went down to see Joan. Doc has never seen her. You've never seen her. I went to the wild animal farm.
It's all right. Okay.
But you're upsetting me. You're upsetting me.
I don't want to upset you.
I went down, Joan, and I
know you did. That's all right.
Fine. Don't say... No.
What?
I know her. I went down and...
Oh, I know you did. I know you went down there. And
I held a baby gorilla.
I couldn't go with you that week. You held a baby gorilla. Good. All right. And let's get her out here quickly. Would you welcome Joan Embry?
The Don and Mike Show.
Tough guys, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
That's right, and good Tuesday afternoon to you, everybody, and welcome to the best of Don and Mike from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on 106.7 WJFK, leading up to Don and Mike live at 3 p.m. I'm your host, Joe Artinger, back from my party birthday weekend. And you're going to want to listen to Don and Mike today live at 3, because not only do we have great prizes to give away, like Sex in the City Season 6 Part 1 DVD and Harry Potter movie premiere tickets at Centerville Multiplex Theater. But Don and Mike gave me an assignment to drink and look for locusts, or otherwise known as cicadas, around my house in Fairfax. So stay tuned for that. Now, on the best of today, we'll start out with Mike did a charity hockey event some years back, and hilarity ensues on the best of Don and Mike on 106.7 WJFK.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What you guys need to do with a ball person is...
No, please. Can you please leave the driving to us?
All right.
Please, we're not delivering a show that's good enough for you. Please.
Well, I'm just trying to give everybody a chance.
No, you know what it's great about this show?
Is that it's not fair.
That's true.
Bald guys and guys with short hair cannot come down to play this game.
But hey, you'll see them in a lot of TV commercials. So, you know, everything evens out.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Goodbye. And that's my theory, incidentally. It's a theory that I don't talk about very often, but you see, most commercials feature bald guys.
Hmm.
Remember that. Most comedy
commercials... Well, obviously, commercials for guys who are losing their hair feature bald guys.
No, but all commercials, funny commercials, lots of bald guys.
Well, bald
bald guys are funnier than guys with hair.
Bald is funny. Bald is not threatening. Bald is every man. Bald is beautiful when it comes to the advertising community. Next time you're watching a major event, like
then how come I don't have a multi-million dollar advertising contract? I'm getting there, man.
You're getting there, but you have far too much hair, especially in the front.
Yeah.
If you have it in the front, you're not going to... And if you have it in the front... You can, you know, you can actually be on TV and not be one of those guys. I'd be
like George Michael, a guy who, when you see me from the back, looks like I have a skin yarmulke back there.
Absolutely, because it doesn't matter. Because when you're looking at the camera, you can look all day and just go Chicago.
George Michael, WABC
803 Monday in New York at WABC, and Billy Martin is officially back as manager of the Yankees. I told you that would happen Saturday night, didn't I? Trust me. Yes, I thought this was the right song to play with it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chicago!
Oh. You know, the other day I was driving in the car with my son. I was driving carpool.
Right.
And I had one of Chicago's CDs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this song came on. And I said to him, Bart, this is a great song. And he was friends. I said, this is what music really used to be like.
Right.
So the intro comes on, boom, bam, bam. Bart cracked me up because right when it got to the vocal, we were all just driving in silence. He goes, Chicago! You know what he pointed out to me today?
What?
This really gets me thinking that in 5 months, my son will be 15.
Right.
And in 5 months, in the state of Virginia, he can drive.
Because of the rural parts of the state, they allow him to drive?
No, he could drive anywhere in Virginia with a licensed driver in the car.
Ah, yeah, that's right.
When he is 15.
Yeah. Get that permit.
I thought for the longest time that it was 15 and a half.
It was 15, 8 months when I was that age. They may have changed it.
Well, brains, consider yourself correct.
That's amazing.
That when a kid is 15, and I questioned him about it also, and then when we pulled up to school today, a carpool, damn if this kid in front of us gets out of the car.
No kidding.
And his dad was sitting in the passenger seat.
Horrifying.
And the kid comes back and says to Bart, hey, how you doing? And Bart says, Dad, he just turned 15 last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So just 5 months until my kid will be driving to school.
Unbelievable.
If I let him drive on the Beltway.
Well, talk about a baptism of fire.
Yeah, now I don't know. I mean, I know it's scary driving in the car when I'm driving.
Yeah, and when I say rural, that law in this state was designed primarily because of the rural situations.
Right.
Because kids needed to drive. And they actually, in certain communities, it used to be 15. You could drive without a parent because of the farm. Got help on the farm.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you could drive anywhere. As long as there's a licensed driver in the car with him, and he can't wait, and it is just scaring the crap out of me.
Sure. Well, you know, with the license, that's kind of like, you know, it gives him a little jump on the gun and a little more training, and you know, with a licensed driver, that's not a bad idea.
We told him, though, it's not any licensed driver. It's just either me or his mom.
I think
that's
you're absolutely
it.
Right.
I mean, well, no, I don't care what the state says.
Right.
Those are the rules in my house, because he said, like, for instance, his cousin, Ben, who's 17,
right.
He said, well, Ben has a license. I could go out driving with Ben.
Oh, boy. Are you sure? Does the law... Because I think the law says it
maybe
has to be the parent or guardian.
You know what? I don't know. I think maybe it's over 18, but I don't think it's a parent or guardian.
Wow.
Well, you know what?
Well, this law is getting dumber every minute.
Let me call. Because I know... Oh, Christ.
We're sorry. All circuits are busy.
Oh, Jesus. Christ.
Christ,
you know it ain't easy.
You know how hard it can be. The way things are going.
Well, how do you feel about this?
They're going to crucify me.
Are you...
I'm kind of ready for the independence.
Right.
But I'm petrified.
Sure.
Just petrified. I couldn't picture myself being in the passenger seat in carpool.
And it also means this is the beginning of the time he'll be in the house less.
Hello?
And less.
Honey.
Hi, my boo.
Hey, is the boy there?
Not yet. I'm waiting for him to get done with football.
Mm. This thing with him driving when he's 15, is it any licensed driver?
No, I think it's any adult licensed driver. It's, you know, but I don't know officially. That's what other moms have told me.
Because like
they ought to have a handbook. You ought to get something in the mail. You know, I mean, this is pretty important stuff.
Because what if a kid was an orphan? You know what I mean? Then he couldn't have a parent or guardian driving with him.
I think it's over 21.
I just said something as
over
stupid
21.
As someone who calls a show who I would yell at.
That is funny. It just made me laugh. I'll tell you that right now. Absolutely. But it's every eventuality. You know, what if he's an orphan? There you go. Then he's just S-O-L.
Then he can't drive.
That's right. Sorry.
All right. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome, Bill.
All right, love you.
Love you, too.
All right, goodbye.
Bye, see.
Well, then the headmaster of the workhouse will take take him.
The boys' farm.
The boys' farm.
Hello, Tim.
Hey, you got to be 21, adult. It doesn't have to be a family member, but you have to be 21.
I've got 21.
I got a 16-year-old that just started driving. We're probably going to go buy him a car next week because we told him if he had 3.0 or better grade average, we'd buy him a car. So
hey, man,
get used to it.
You get a car for a 3.0?
Nice family.
Christ. Yeah, well, they're all what do they call elevated classes.
Oh, really?
So they're like
he's
like
an overachiever?
Level, they're like college-level classes.
16? Still. 3.0.
Well, it's actually...
That's like McDonald's City. I mean, have you checked out how... I mean,
3.0, this is a 4.0, you know.
I understand the scale, sir.
All right.
I understand that 4.0 would be the top you can get.
These are weighted classes. These are college-level classes that is a junior.
All right, so...
So it's like harder classes. And
I still think the car is a little low. Have you already committed to the automobile?
Already committed.
See, you're giving your child a prize for mediocrity. Frankly, that is not how I would do it. And furthermore, I do not reward my child like that. But if I did, I would only hold the carrot out for excellence.
Right.
Why give the child a gift when it says, you know, hey, you know what? You're a little above average. Here's a new car. What message does that teach the child?
At what level would you give him then?
What level will I give my son a car?
Yeah.
This level. And never.
I tried that. That was my choice.
No, my son.
My wife overruled me.
Well, you apparently are
like
not as
wife will overrule you.
You are not as strong a man as I. This big
my
talk
wife,
right now.
My wife is probably not as strong as yours.
And you know, really, I mean, if you're committed to the car thing, going out and buying a brand new car, don't you have? Does the
not
family
a brand new? No, never said brand new.
Well, does the family have a clunker maybe that you could hand?
Yeah,
him
but
down?
You know, you don't feel safe putting your kid in a clunker
well,
though.
Even my family, wife's clunker is a
when I went to college, my family was real safe giving me the clunker.
Well, you were in college, though, Mike.
That's true.
I mean, first car, though.
Yeah.
First car.
I didn't. That was my first car.
Oh, okay.
That was
my first
car.
I was out of college.
All right. Well, you know, listen, who am I? You're right. I might change my mind later. My wife might buy him a car. I don't know.
That's a great memory for when I bought my first car. Hold on a minute. Hold on, sir. I got to tell this story because one time when I got the clunker, the family clunker, it lasted all the way through college. And then when I was going to buy my very first car, my dad went with me and the car was running. We went to the used car lot to buy my used Ford Fiesta that I was very excited about, but I mean, it's what I could afford.
Right.
And the car that we were in, the Plymouth Satellite Sebring.
Strong car, Mike.
Very strong car. I mean, in its day.
Right now,
in its day.
It's a truck, I agree.
Great back seat. Great back seat of that car.
Yeah, like you used it.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Candace Bushnell.
You know the truth. I never did. You can't stop rubbing that in. We had to leave the car.
You can't stop bringing it up whenever I mentioned Sex and the City.
The author of the book Sex and the City, the HBO show based on that. The car was, where was I with this story? I completely forgot. It was, we had to leave the satellite running because we knew that if we shut it off, it would
never
start
again.
And we actually had the thing. We went through the whole transaction, got the Ford Fiesta, went in. My father co-signed for me on the loan, walked in. The guy said, great, okay, where is it? It's right out front. The engine's running. And we left. And we laughed.
You laugh,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, think of that. Because we got that great Ford Fiesta. Very exciting.
All right, you. Thank
Very
you.
Very exciting. You'll break down. It's not as bad as you think it is.
Well, listen, maybe I'll get my kid a car, but I'll tell you this. I'm never gonna reward him for mediocrity.
Well,
when your son gets into middle management and calls you one day and says, Dad, I can't make my mortgage payment,
right?
You know, then you'll look back and you say, you know
he'll
what?
Call his mother now. There's, you know,
maybe
that.
I should have made you hold out for higher than a 3.0 grade average.
Don't you teach him how to drive.
What?
Don't you teach him how to drive.
Okay, right, because you're so much better than me.
I've been in court less.
Oh, now don't get all pissy.
Sorry.
Huh?
Father of the year.
I said, I tell you what.
Last year.
Why don't you just send me your child? I will raise your child the correct way.
That's so generous. You know, I cannot tell you how I appreciate your magnanimous gestures to these fathers.
Take all these stray children.
Absolutely.
It's a better world.
Just drop them off, and he takes them all. He's got a living room full of them.
Amazing.
Hey, listen, son, I want to tell you something. What's your son's name?
Dane.
I will take him as a mother. First thing I do is change that fag name. First thing I would give him a regular name like Dave or something like that.
Geronimo.
I will say, Dave. Dave, 3.0 is mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
That is what your father, your biological father,
that
has achieved. I urge you to get a 4.0, what your adopted father has received.
There you go.
Strive for excellence, my adopted son.
That's right. And here now, your name will be Dave. We have changed it from Dane.
Dave, I'll tell him.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
I mean, really, really. I mean, if you get a B, if you're good in your class, you get an automobile.
Right.
That, you know.
Christ, I wish I had that deal. My brother wishes he had that deal. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
My brother pulled the occasional B.
I would never get my daughter a car. I would get them motorcycles.
Hello, Carol.
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 Hi.
Hi, Carol.
How are you?
Fine, thank you, Carol.
That's what's wrong with the world today. Morons who buy their 16-year-olds new cars.
I agree.
I will say in his defense, he didn't say it was going to be a new car.
Right.
Well, any car.
I agree. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. I think buying a 16-year-old a car is stupid. I think it also, because as soon as you buy him a car, you got that extra car, and it's like, see you later. I mean, you know, if you want to totally relinquish parental control.
Got to do it like my wife and I have a plan. It's just a way to control him a little more.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That you don't buy him a car. That you say, you know, you do the right stuff, and on Friday night, if you want to take my car out.
Get to use the car.
You get to take my car out.
Bingo!
If you do anything to my car, I'll beat your ass.
That works.
You know, verbally.
Sure.
I don't think this isn't rocket science
here.
That's how you do it.
Right.
You don't say, listen, you know what? If you get a C-plus on your test, if you got a 3.0 average, a little better than a C-plus.
But, you know, to buy a car for that, it just seems a little weird.
A 3.0, please. All right, thank you. Goodbye, Carl.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Hey, do you buy the part about the college-level classes? I don't.
No. You know what I think, really? I think Dane, bless his heart, goes to a special school. That's what I think.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Well, that's cool. Then he get him a stock car, a funny car.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi there. This is Rebecca.
Yeah, hi, Rebecca.
I got a comment about the whole car issue. It doesn't necessarily have to be looked at as a reward for the kids. It also takes pressure off you guys as parents not having to drive their asses around everywhere.
Somebody bought their kid a car.
Actually, I was a kid who got a car when I turned 16, so I'm a little biased, I suppose.
Okay, princess.
All righty.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
No, thank you.
No.
No, and when you have children, send them to me. I'll be glad to raise them the right way.
Will you buy them a car?
Absolutely not.
All right, fellas.
100% chance I won't. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm not going to let my kid use my car, like on a Friday or Saturday night.
I am, which is kind of like the right thing to do the way I look at it.
That's the way that I had it when I was a kid.
And it's not like, you know, I wanted to use the word you have greater control, but maybe that's not the right word, but it is. You have greater control. You know where they're going.
That's what it's all about, man. Mm-hmm.
You know, they have their own car. It's like, hey, I'll be back. See you next Thursday.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I have a comment about getting a license and getting a car at the same time.
Yes.
Oh, I just want to ask them why there's such an automatic connection between when they get a license and they get a car also.
Well, who said there's an automatic connection?
Oh, it just sounds like it. They're all talking about getting a license means they get a car.
Well, some of the parents are saying they buy
it. Oh, is that what he's saying? Okay,
yeah.
All right, I understand. Okay, gotcha. Thank you. Hello.
He was a great communicator.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. I see he's a 3.0.
Mm-hmm.
There's my point right there.
Here's your proof.
Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, baby.
I was just calling to let you guys know that you don't have to be 21 to drive with a 15-year-old. You only have to be 18.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Oh. Yeah, my little brother he's trying to get his learners right now, and I'm teaching him and his friends how to drive stick. And I'm only 20, so.
I love learning how to drive a stick.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. So cool.
Yeah. You know who taught me how to drive stick? Don Cox, that disc jockey. When I got to Pittsburgh, the first thing Don Cox did was driving a big Firebird Smokey and a Bandit car.
Right.
First thing he says, that's not a car. You come with me, I'll get you an MG.
Great car.
I'm 16.
Right.
Didn't know what I was doing. Traded in my Firebird for this MG.
He was right there.
And I got in it, and I said, I don't know how to drive a stick. He said, fine, I'll drive you home. 2 o'clock in the morning, took me to downtown Pittsburgh and just ran me through it because there was nobody on the streets downtown. He said, okay, now, you know, when you start, I left the clutch, put it in first,
right.
Go about 15 miles an hour. Back on the clutch.
I would have loved to be in that car.
There was a lot of that.
No, let out the clutch slower. You know what I loved about driving a car with a clutch is being able to sneak away from the house because they'd never hear the starter.
You mean your mom and dad?
Yeah, you let the car roll down the driveway, pop the clutch, the engine starts quietly, you drive away.
Yeah, but that was only on the Ford Model T, wasn't it?
Okay. Just kidding. Don and Mike show. No, he's not.
Hey, Don.
Hey.
Hey, I want to tell you, when I was 16, I got a 64 Super Beetle. And I tell you what, it gives you more time to dick around.
Yeah, there you go. An honest guy calling the show.
You know, you go to lunch and, hey, you miss a class. Miss a class after lunch.
Exactly. Right.
Go back, write a note, you know, hey. It's easy. It's easy to just mess around.
So you wouldn't do it to your kids?
No.
There you go.
Smart man.
Thanks. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yes, hello. Last call on this topic.
How you doing?
Hey, we're great. Thank you.
Listen, I got a car when I was 16. I know what I did, and I would never let my children do it.
That's interesting, those two calls.
Right. Bye.
What'd you do? You get laid all the time?
Pretty close.
Pretty close. Yeah, gave lots of Monicas out, didn't you?
That's right.
That's right. Oh, let's go into Peggy Hill's car.
She's a bad kid.
That's right.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
She also learned on a stick.
We are up on a break, and we will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The Ron and Fez Show.
I'll bash your head in with a brick.
Don't do that.
I want to be the kind of friend who's there for you.
Ron and Fez at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Oh, God, I am in hell.
On 106.7 WJFK.
People call me Wonder Boy because I wonder a lot. For instance, I wonder what you'd call a male ladybug. I wonder, if you always use number 2 pencils, why aren't they number 1? And speaking of number 1, I wonder if you know one of the coolest ways to pay for stuff at Exxon locations. It's SpeedPass, and it's a great way to stay on the move. See, SpeedPass isn't a credit card. It uses a small device that links to a credit or check card that you already use. Then, when you buy gas or goodies at participating Exxon stations, just point the SpeedPass device at a reader and voila, you've paid. It's that easy to keep on moving. To sign up for SpeedPass, just go to speedpass.com, call 1-877-SPEEDPASS, or complete an enrollment form from an Exxon location. But don't use pencil, not even a number 2.
How do we know people on the move like to stay on the move? Because at Exxon, we're drivers too.
I'm Father Tom Hartman of the God Squad. I've been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. My mission